Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Tuesday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight, part two in our look at Daniel and Revelation. We're going to be looking at the conquest of Antichrist and the Jews flying to Celapetra. Many Christians, when attempting to navigate the oftentimes murky waters of the book of Revelation, start out strong but soon get discouraged when trying to decode what they're reading. Fortunately, your King James Bible is ready to help you crack the code, and it does that through the book of Daniel. Daniel is the key that unlocks Revelation, and it does so in spectacular fashion. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, we have studied Daniel before, we've studied Revelation before, but in this series, we are merging the two books to see if we can make a single book out of what we read there, and guess what? We can get pretty close to accomplishing that due to the complementary and overlapping nature of the two books. Daniel was a man in the dispersion. John was a man in exile. Daniel was given visions and a visitation from angels. John was taken up of the Spirit and shown visions. Both Daniel and John lived under the rule of men who qualify as types of Antichrist. Both men were supernaturally protected as they ministered. Both men witnessed end times events that are still future, and both men prophesied of the Jews in the tribulation. Now, Daniel was told to seal up his book of prophecy until it was time. Revelation opens a seven-sealed book and says, "It is time." At the end of Revelation, a man who looks a whole lot like Daniel shows up for a Bible study with John, and when they do, the command to, quote, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand," is given. Wild, crazy, and off the charts. Tonight, part two. We focus on the prophecies of the conquest of Antichrist and the miraculous and amazing flight of the Jewish people to Celapetra. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you, God, for waking us up today. We thank you for your scripture of truth. And, Lord, we just come before you tonight as we open up your book, as we meet by way of radio, and we lift up our prayers and praises to you. We thank you, Lord, for this day, for waking us up, for putting the food on the table, the clothes on our back, and the roof over our head. Lord, we're glad, we're grateful. Lead us and guide us, as always. And we'll give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good evening, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Glad that you were here. I'm getting used to the new Tuesday night. And for me, it works pretty good. And hopefully it's working well for you also. Last week, got a lot of really good positive feedback on Daniel and Revelation. I wasn't thinking of making a series out of it, but it looks like it wants to be a series. So tonight in part two, we're going to be focused mostly in Daniel chapter 10 and 11, and in the book of Revelation chapters 13 through, well, actually 12 through 17. And I want to show you tonight two main things. I want to show you what Daniel has to say about the Antichrist. I want to show you the covenant that gets confirmed. Who confirms that covenant? I don't know why, but in our day there seems to be controversy about that, and we're going to address that controversy. And we're going to look at the the matching passages in the book of Revelation. Daniel says it in the Old Testament. He says, this is what's going to take place. You get to the book of Revelation and John says, this is the fulfillment of what the prophet said would happen. And the amazing thing, when you think about the revelation that Jesus gave to the apostle John, you know what he did? He brought him up to heaven in the spirit. And you know what he showed him? He showed him the entire 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. He showed him the great tribulation. So from God's perspective, these events have already taken place. If you're a preterist or if you're a Calvinist, you believe that these events already took place back in 70 AD. But I'm going to show you tonight that it is impossible that these events have already taken place down here on the earth. And it's going to be a wild ride, and going to give you a ton of scripture. We're going to connect all those references, and I hope it's going to be a blessing for you. We're so glad that you're here, and I hope if you've come here looking for a blessing, you're going to find one. There's no doubt about that.
I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken the open door.
tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about,
understand it by and by, and I'm looking forward to that day, as I'm sure that you are as well. If you're just tuning in, tonight is part two in what has become a series on the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Tonight we're going to be focusing on the conquest of Antichrist and watching the Jewish remnant flee to Selah Petra. And it's going to be an exciting, exciting time tonight, and I'm excited. I really, really am. I'm also excited by the new promotion that we have going in the bookstore right now. Many of you know that Dr. Bill Grady, End Times author, he preached at our camp meeting last year, and what a blessing that that was. Dr. Bill Grady has released a brand new book, and this book is 100% dedicated to soul winning. It's called What Must I Do to Be Saved? And it's causing a little bit of a buzz, and everybody is all excited. And we have a promotion, a limited time promotion. When you go to our bookstore website, that is www.BibleBeliever.com. And any $50 purchase that you make, and you're going to get this book from Dr. Bill Grady, What Must I Do to Be Saved? A great soul-winning tool for you street preachers and personal workers, even for you pastors. And we're going to give you a copy of What Must I Do to Be Saved completely for free when you order $50 or more at the NTEB bookstore. And that you don't have to, there's no code, you don't have to, there's no coupon. All you have to do is go to BibleBeliever.com, order $50 of anything, and we're going to include with your order a brand new copy of What Must I Do to Be Saved by Dr. Bill Grady. And it just came to the bookstore today. I haven't even had time to read it myself, but I have read a lot of his other books, and I know how good it's going to be. So if you'd like a free copy of What Must I Do to Be Saved, a excellent soul-winning tool, go to BibleBeliever.com, order $50 of anything, and we will send you a copy of this book for free. Now, one of the things that you should order, if you haven't ordered this yet, we have a number of Bible commentaries from Clarence Larkin, and we have what we call the Larkin Bundle. And in that bundle, we have put together the Book of Revelation, Rightly Dividing the Word, and the Book of Daniel. And Dr. Ruckman said that Larkin's Book of Daniel was the best Daniel commentary that he personally ever read. That's how good that it is. So, if you buy the Larkin Bundle, you're going to save $10, and you're going to get those three books, the Book of Revelation, Rightly Dividing the Word, and the Book of Daniel, and on top of that, you're going to get a copy of What Must I Do to Be Saved by Dr. Bill Grady completely for free. So go to the bookstore, check out the Larkin Bundle, order $50 of anything, and we'll be very, very happy to send you your free copy of What Must I Do to Be Saved by Dr. Bill Grady. In just a couple of minutes, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have our time of prayer and praise. Mike Hensel's mother has gone home to be with the Lord, and him and his sister called me up earlier today, and we had a great conversation. We had a wonderful talk, and they are going to come to St. Augustine. They're going to come visit us at the bookstore in a couple of weeks, and Lori and I are very excited to meet Mike and his sister. And when we get to our prayer time, we're going to say a special prayer for the entire Hensel family, that God would comfort them at this time. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, post it in the chat room, and in just a couple of minutes, we'll lift it up together as a church family.
Job was a good man. For God he took a stand. The devil came along, took his health and his home, and all that he had. And Job's wife said, end it all. But Job arose up and stood tall. If you'd have been there that day, I think you'd heard old Job say, I believe I'll go on. I believe I'll go on. Trust in him alone. Though the burden's been heavy, and the storms have been many, lead me safely home. And when I get there, I'll leave all sorrows and cares. Though this road may be longer, Lord, I pray you'll make
be stronger, and I believe I'll go.
Now there have been times when I felt I couldn't make it. And there have been times when my life, it was shaking. And there have been times I couldn't find the strength to carry on. But in the midst of my darkness, when I heard His voice saying, child, you're not alone. So I'll hold to God's hand, He'll give me grace to stand, and I believe I'll go on.
I believe I'll go on, trusting Him alone. Though the burden's been heavy and the storms have been many, He'll lead me safely home. And when I give, and I believe I'll go on. And I believe I'll go on, trusting Him alone. Though the burden's been heavy and the storms have been many, He'll lead me safely home. And when I get there, I'll leave all sorrow.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my arms, oh, cry, singing wild over. Let me at thy throne of mercy. Would you let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief? Would you find willing, kneeling there in deep contrition, kneeling, come on, kneeling there. Would you help that my heart believe? We're calling you, say, oh, say, oh, hear my humble. One more time. We're calling you.
preacher got up and said, stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone. But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. I need to know before we pray. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life.
Just lift up your hand to the one who can give you rest. Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear
an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand. When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life.
Just lift up your
hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear.
An unspoken request. Child, have no fear.
Our God can hear.
An unspoken request.
Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We pray for lost souls. Father God, tonight we lift up Bonnie, who's praying for her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Paul Caulfield, he witnessed to a man named Olmo, and he's asking for prayer that seeds were planted with this man, Olmo. Barbara, she's praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer would like salvation prayer for her best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne is praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Beth, Ethan, and Haley. Karen's children, Jason and Tiffany, grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody, Mark Sherlock, praying for Savannah and Mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes for Bob and Abby. Junie Grant and their dad need to be saved. Kathy Hughes' son. Haley is praying for Zane. Lulu has unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to be saved. In the Giacomino family, Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Jessica, Sophia, Justin, Blondie, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Deb, Maurice, Courtney, Josh, Gabe, Haley, Emma, Amy, Rochelle, Dan, Evie, Lincoln, Felicia, Ethan, Bob, Stacy, Lauren, Andrew, and Karen. Dawn D praying for David. Paul Caulfield for his brother-in-law, Frank. Ramona Hayes says, please pray for my daughter Kimberly to get saved and sober. Also, grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda, and their families. Patrick is praying for Jack and Aaron, Chelsea P., for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam's wife, Shana, Lori B., Shira Shine, for her children, Scott, Sherry, and Nicole, Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin, Mark Fennell, Kevin Thompson, praying for his father, Tim, Steve Graves, Elga, Rob, praying for his three kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey, Phyllis T., for her husband, Brian A. Robbins, a retired captain, he needs to get saved, Todd Broom's brother, Thad, Marie's friends, family, Ashley Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie praying for parents, sisters, and other family members. Joe Russiello for his mom, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen praying for grandsons Braden and Logan. His Grace praying for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason, Rachel, Jason and Carrie. Lola's son William and wife Lindsay, Hannah's mom, Anja, praying for Hanu, John Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans asking salvation prayer for his friend Taylor, who is an atheist. People who need a healing today. Lori Ann says, please pray for my mother, that's my mother-in-law, diagnosed with breast cancer, and she has been on chemo for the past 3 weeks. Up in Jacksonville, wife of Pastor David Peacock, Drina, she is battling cancer, and I have heard from multiple people that she is seriously ill. Please pray for a full healing for Drina Peacock. Krista has four tumors wrapped around her rib cage. We're praying for the Hensel family today. Mama Hensel went home to be with the Lord, and Mike and his sister, they have peace about it, and they know where she is, and that's a blessing. So please remember, if you're friends with Mike on Facebook, please reach out and send him an encouraging note. I had asked him if he had time to come to the chat room tonight, but probably not likely. It's going to be a very busy couple of days for him. But please keep the Hensel family in your prayers for comfort, and that God would lead them and guide them. Gail, please pray for Katie, needs a liver transplant. Rick Reynolds, please pray for my daughters, Carrie, Abby, and Grace, and grandbaby, Lilia. Amanda Emo, battling cancer. Annetta, needs a complete healing after having a stroke. Marcia Swanson, has myalgic encephalomyelitis. George H., for health issues. James Rivette, recovering from addiction and mental health issues. Robert Wiley, battling ALS disease. Jill Puckett, is losing her vision. Paul Caulfield has type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp battling autism and winning. Dan Kane, please pray for wife Roxy with MS and for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik has cancer. Mark Seals has numerous health issues. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy, please pray for me. I have severe arthritis in my spine, diabetes type 2, and a fatty liver. Michelle Christian is battling stage 4 bone cancer. Rob Beatty is battling stage 4 liver cancer. Melissa B's husband Brian has stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda had a praise report. She called the bookstore earlier today and left a message for Lori. Praise the Lord. Norcha's results came back, and she is cancer-free. She's going to be having some post-op follow-up tests on her thyroid. Please pray that all goes well with that. Amen. And Ricky says, please pray for me for my eyesight. And we are very happy to do that. Casey is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane, please pray for the salvation of my parents and my brother, and a healing for my husband. Jackie H. would like God's favor regarding custody of her children. Custody of her oldest son, Nikolai. Vladimir's friend Kotka suffers from ALS. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has vasculitis, and it's causing nerves to die off in her legs. Stacy is going through a divorce and needs wisdom. Terry Horn, I have had several strokes and now need a walker. Casey, please pray for my husband. He is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Tom Rance continues to recover from a stroke and a brain bleed. Julius, thank you for continuing to pray for my mother, Erlinda, and my niece, Rochelle, for medical issues. A little girl named Birdie had a stroke and a seizure. Pray for her. Jeanette's sister, Kathy, she has numerous health issues, and she is recovering from eye surgery. Her husband, Robert, and Aunt Linda both have macular degeneration. Wayne needs prayer for cancer, not sure if he is saved. Ashley DeShields continues to recover from West Nile virus. Teresa G., she has macular degeneration. Linda Benjamin would like overall health, prayer for health and for memory. Berta and Mike Crabb are having health issues. Irma needs a healing in her bladder. A woman named Nikki in Cape Town, South Africa, has lung cancer after taking the vaccine, and it is not responding to treatment. And her brother, I don't know how to pronounce that name, Gerad, G-E-R-A-D. If we have any people listening from Australia right now, if you could tell me how to pronounce that name. But his sister, Nikki, is not saved, and she is battling lung cancer. Regina Danner, please pray for Wayne and Linda and son Chris. Ron, my friend Jay having surgery. I believe that was last Friday. Ron, if you're listening, please give us an update on Jay. Wade Thiessen, he wants to know if we could add Pastor Tom McDonnell from Shearerville, Indiana. He's having health issues. Ladies who are expecting, Christy Ireland, Char's daughter Miranda, Sandra Carbonera's friend Jordan P., Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, and Spray of Sunshine would like prayer for her son and his girlfriend who are expecting twins. All right, let's go to the chat room and see what we have. Kathy Kelly, she was not feeling well this past weekend, and she wound up taking a trip to the emergency room. And I haven't heard what the result of that was, but please pray for Kathy Kelly. Also, Kathy wants us, she's giving us an update on Sasha. The biopsy confirmed it was a yolk sac tumor. It was fully removed on Tuesday. Praise the Lord. Long-term prognosis is very good. No chemo or radiation is needed. So she says, praise God for this report, and we believe God will keep Sasha healthy. Amen. Jeanette says, please keep me in prayer. I'm still looking for a morning caregiver. Herb, please join us in prayer for my wife's cousin, Sandra, in the hospice with nasopharyngeal cancer. That's cancer of her nose and sinuses. And my dad is in a nursing home, unable to use his legs. Please pray for salvation for Sandra. It is not clear she is saved. Amen. Jimmy Hudson, I'd like to lift up my friend Ken Harrington. He's in the hospital with breathing problems. Char and I are taking care of his property and his house. We want him home. And we're very happy to pray for him. Annabelle, please pray for my brother Gerald in New York City, still in the hospital with an infection, had his toe amputated. He is also on dialysis for a complete healing. Speaking of dialysis, please remember Catherine B. in your prayers. She wants very much to get off of dialysis. Joshua says, you might remember me mentioning my wife having a SCAD, S-C-A-D, heart attack back in January, but she had a checkup last week and all of her numbers are normal. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, we commit these prayers to you. God, we ask you to work and move. We ask you to heal everybody who needs a healing, everybody who needs something in their body, in their soul, in their spirit, people who need living situations and jobs, and people who need finances straightened out, and people who need food on the table, and just every single one of these needs, Lord, from large to small, we ask you to work and move and do it all for your glory, for our good, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, open up your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And we're going to be looking tonight specifically at the rise of Antichrist. And one of the things about the book of Daniel that confuses people, and I understand why people get confused about this. One of the things that really confuses people is that many of the prophecies that Daniel makes have to do with political rulers and nations that were in existence during the time of Daniel and came into existence after the time of Daniel. So, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time tonight on the historical aspect of these prophecies. We're going to mention it a little bit. We're going to mention it in passing. But we're not going to spend a lot of time on the historical aspects. What we are going to focus on, because this is a Bible study, we are going to focus on the prophetical aspects of these things that are taking place. And we're going to look at the prophecies that could only be fulfilled by Antichrist, not by Alexander the Great, not by Antiochus Epiphanes, or any of those other people. Whenever you have Bible prophecy, many times there is a twofold application. There is the historical prophecy, things that took place within the timeline. And then, talking about exactly the same thing, that becomes a future prophetic fulfillment. And as we go along, I'm going to show you what I mean by that. Now, I'll say it one more time. I'm not trying to push book sales. Well, maybe a little bit. I do love our bookstore. I love the selection of books that we have. And we sell all the commentaries of Clarence Larkin. And these are some of the best Bible commentaries that have ever been written. And if you haven't gotten Dispensational Truth, Rightly Dividing the Word, the Book of Revelation, or it just went right out of my head. Oh, the Book of Daniel. You need to go to BibleBeliever.com and get some of these books. Larkin goes into great detail about a lot of the historical fulfillment of the prophecies in Daniel chapter 9, 10, and 11. And we are not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight, but it is good to know about the historical fulfillment as well. It actually works to increase your faith in the prophetical aspect. So look in Daniel chapter 10, and I want to point out a couple of things to you. Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 1 and 2. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, the time of Jacob's trouble is a 7-year period. Daniel saw these things. He was given the revelation. He was given the flip side of the same revelation that John is going to be given in the book of Revelation. And Daniel mourned for 7, 7, 7. 7 times 3. He mourned for 21 days. And he was visited by the angel Gabriel. He was visited by some unnamed angels. And he was also visited by a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Look at Daniel 10:5. Daniel 10:5 says, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as an appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." Now, keep your finger in Daniel chapter 10 and go to Revelation chapter 1. So, Daniel just described to you the man that he saw. John's going to see a man in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 12. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." Now go back to Daniel chapter 10. I read to you verse 5 and 6. That is almost identical to the description that I just read to you from Revelation chapter 1. But there's a big difference. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is visited by the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Nobody knows the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody knows what he's going to do. Yes, the prophets prophesied about his death, burial, and resurrection, but they didn't know who they were prophesying about. They just knew it was the Messiah, whoever the Messiah was going to be. But Jesus had not come into the world. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the manifest image of the Father. But in Daniel chapter 10, that image had not yet been manifested. So, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is meeting with the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, John is meeting with the risen, glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and he knows exactly who he's talking to. So, it's the same person in Daniel and Revelation, but with different functions. And the pre-incarnate Jesus in Daniel 10 is going to operate differently with Daniel than he does in his glorified, risen form with the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. It's the same coin, but it's opposite sides. So in Daniel chapter 10, let's pick it up in verse 10. Daniel 10:10. "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And look what happens. Now, this is Jesus Christ talking with Daniel. But look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate appearance, is operating and functioning differently than he does in his glorified risen form. After he had gone to the cross and paid the price and shed God's blood and descended into hell and led captivity captive, and in about a week and a half we're going to have Easter, and I'm going to preach a message, Lord willing, on Easter Sunday morning, and we're going to talk about the great and glorious victory that Jesus got on that day. But here in Daniel chapter 10, that victory is yet future. And if you haven't figured it out by now, every aspect of government and laws and right and wrong and ways of doing things, Paul says that God wants everything done decently and in order. And that's how it has to be done. And so God has an order of how everything has to be set up in order to pay the price for sin. Man can't pay that price. I can't pay it. You can't pay it. God, at the appointed time, he took on a human form, and we call that form Jesus Christ. Why didn't he do it thousands of years before he did? Because it wasn't the right time. So God does everything specifically. God has a plan for everything. Daniel chapter 10, verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Daniel was given a vision by the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, and that vision makes up the bulk of the book of Daniel. John is given a vision by the resurrected Jesus Christ in his glorified form, and that vision makes up the bulk of the book of Revelation. And so we're starting to see, and I'm trying to make this as easy to understand as possible, is that Daniel and Revelation are bookends. Daniel says this is how it's going to go. Revelation says this is how it went. And if you've ever really spent time in the book of Revelation, you know that much of it is written in the past tense. And I'm going to show you that in just a little bit. From God's perspective, it has already happened. One more thing before we go into the break. Where is this? Hold on one second. I totally lost my place. Give me just one second. This is what Daniel was told in verse 21. Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Everything that Daniel is being told is true and faithful. You can count on it happening. It is going to happen. And from God's perspective, it has already taken place. So, in Daniel chapter 10, Jesus says to Daniel, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And look at what happens in Revelation 21:5. Revelation 21:5. Verses 6 through 8. Actually, no. Revelation 21:5. 5 and 6. Revelation 21:5 and 6. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So, Daniel was given visions of things that were going to come to pass in the latter days. John was given a vision of things that came to pass in the latter days. From God's perspective, it has already happened. And when we get back, now that we've set the table, we're going to get right into it. And I hope you're ready for a little bit of a rocket ride through Scripture. Don't go away.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been. and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't even teach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yay! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah.
Amen, and we are back for hour two of tonight's Bible study on the conquest of Antichrist and our look at the Jewish people, the Jewish remnant that will be there in the Great Tribulation, and we're going to watch them flee to Selah Petra. Now, before we continue, just want to give you an update on the Bibles Behind Bars program, and we are more than halfway to our goal. On Friday, we set a $15,000 goal so that we can raise enough money to send 3,500 Bibles to 7 different jails and prisons here in America that have reached out to us asking for help with Bibles and New Testaments and scripture portions and everything that they need to get the job done. And we are sending Bibles to Chaplain Alfred at the Stone County Regional Correctional Facility. Chaplain Billy, he has an outreach at the East Alabama Medical Center. Chaplain Todd at the Sebastian County Adult Detention Center. Chaplain Teague at the Lawrence County Detention Center. Chaplain Scott at the Union Correctional Institution. Chaplain Johnson at the St. John's County Jail here in St. Augustine. We sent them 500 Bibles last year, and they're out. They need 500 more. And also, we are going to be sending New Testaments to Second Chance Ministries that operate in the Monroe County Jail in Madisonville, Tennessee. So that is 7 jails and prisons that need our help. If you would like to help us to do that, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com, click on the donate button. Like I said, we are just about halfway to meeting our goal, and that's really good since Friday. But the Bibles have already started. We shipped out some cases of Bibles today, and we're not going to quit until we send out 3,500 Bibles to these 7 jails and anybody else who needs one. So if you'd like to help us, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com, click on the donate button, and help us to reach our goal for sending out these 3,500 Bibles by the end of this month, which is in 12 days. I believe with the Lord's help, we can do it. Now, and for all of you who pray and donate, as always, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, let's continue with our look. We're in Daniel chapter 11. And let's take a little bit of let's kind of dissect this a little bit so that we can understand the historical applications as well as the prophetical applications. Now, obviously, these things that are taking place are all prophetical, even though that they're about to be fulfilled historically, because Daniel is telling these things in verse 1 of chapter 11. He says, this is Jesus talking, the pre-incarnate Christ, also I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now, what is Daniel, and let me just get a couple of extra windows open here. Keep your finger in Daniel 11 and turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and look at verses 20 and 21. Daniel 2, 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." Now, in Daniel chapter 11, who's in charge? Is Nebuchadnezzar still in charge of Babylon? No, he is not. Nebuchadnezzar has been removed from power by Jesus Christ. And in the place of Nebuchadnezzar, we now have Darius the Mede. And Jesus says, also I in the first year of Darius the Mede, Daniel 11:1, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Why is Jesus strengthening Darius the Mede? So that Daniel can get done what God wants him to do in the captivity. I just read to you the verses that says that he sets up kings, he takes down kings, and here in Daniel 11:1, Nebuchadnezzar has been taken down, Darius has been installed, and Jesus is already working with Darius to give Daniel favor. That's how it works. That's what this verse is showing you. And now look at verse 2 of Daniel chapter 11. And now I will show thee the truth. You want to know the truth? He just said in Daniel chapter 10, I will show you what is written in the scripture of truth. John says in the book of Revelation, these things are true and faithful. Every word of your Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. It is all true. You can trust every single bit of it. Now, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 2, we begin to see that the historical prophecies are about to be given. Verse 2 says, behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. So what is Daniel talking about? Keep your finger in 11 and go back to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 36. This is the dream, and we will tell thee the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth, over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest that the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And so, the king had this amazing dream about this incredible statue. And Daniel interprets this dream all the way back in chapter 2. Now, go back to Daniel chapter 11 and He is talking to Darius. He says, okay, behold, verse 2, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be richer than they all. So, everything that takes place in Daniel chapter 11, verse 2, all the way down to... all the way down to about verse 16, all these things took place in the centuries from the time that Daniel made this prophecy all the way up to the first advent when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And that's the roughly 500 year time period that Daniel is talking about. And if you read the Larkin commentary or the Ruckman commentary, you're going to see all sorts of names like Antiochus Epiphanes. You're going to see names like, let me just see if I can pull a couple of these names up for you. Ptolemy Souter, Ptolemy Lagidae, Seleucus Nicator, the general of Alexander's cavalry, and all these different people that we know from history that existed. Ptolemy II, also known as Philadelphus, he had a daughter named Berenice that was given in marriage to Antiochus Theus. And these verses from Daniel chapter 11, verse 2, all the way down to about 16, 17, 18, they all took place historically. And then, of course, that leads you into the time period of the Maccabees. Now, let me just show you something that's really quite fascinating. And this is something that we discovered 4 years ago when we wrote this article on Emmanuel Macron. And if you remember, the title of that article is "Your Head Will Spin When You Realize That Emmanuel Macron Has Both Jewish Ancestry," which he does, "and inexplicable ties to Rome and to the Assyrian Empire." And there is something that we put into that article that is very, very appropriate for the section that we're in right now in Daniel chapter 11. So, people ask me, how did you select this idea of Emmanuel Macron as a candidate for the biblical man of sin from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3? Well, when you look into the heritage, when you look into the heritage of Emmanuel Macron, you know what you find? This is what we find. The prophet Daniel had visions, and in chapter 11, Daniel sees the kings of the north and the south. We know them as the Seleucid and Ptolemy dynasties. Daniel shows us the rise and rule of Antiochus IV Epiphanes. He is the Seleucid king who reigned from 176 to 164 B.C. There was a general of King Antiochus of Syria named Ptolemy Dorimenes, who was given the cognomen, that's to say a third name. My name is Jeffrey Scott Greider. I have three names. So this man named Ptolemy Dorimenes was given the third name of Macron. Daniel 11 verses 5 and 6. "And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion, and in the end of years they shall join themselves together. For the king's daughter of the south," that's who Larkin says is a woman named Berenice, "for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and that he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. This man, known to us in history as Ptolemy Macrone, is listed in the history of the Maccabees. And this is what the history of the Maccabees says about Ptolemy Macrone. General of King Antiochus Epiphanes of Syria, sent by the prefect Lysias with two other generals, Nicanor and Gorgias, to fight against the Jews under the Maccabees. So, from the historical record, we read about this man named Ptolemy Doremius, who is given the third name of Macrone. And when you trace the lineage of Emmanuel Macron, who is the president of France in 2024, his lineage goes all the way back to Ptolemy Macrone, mentioned in Daniel chapter 11, with the verses that I just read to you. And everything that you read in Daniel 11, from verse 2 all the way down to, 15, 16, 17, that's where it starts to shift. And it goes from a historical prophetical perspective to a future prophetical perspective. And who do we start talking about now? We start talking about Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar was a type of Antichrist. Antiochus Epiphanes was so much a type of Antichrist that people who are hyper-dispensationalists and preterists, they believe that these verses were completely fulfilled under the rule and the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, who hated the Jewish people. And Ptolemy Macrone was one of his main generals who helped to persecute the Jewish people. But when you look at Daniel 11:16, "But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed." Now, it starts to kind of straddle the fence. Is this talking about something that happened under Antiochus Epiphanes? Or is this talking about something that is yet future? Remember, Daniel is given a vision of things that are going to take place after many days, in the latter days. We haven't gotten to the latter days yet. Look at Daniel 11, verse 20. "Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom." What was happening the very year that Jesus Christ was born? Herod had issued a census and a taxation, and everybody had to go back to their home city. They had to fill out the census, and they had to pay the tax. What does the modern versions do? They remove the taxation, and they only tell you about the census. Why do they do that? Because it completely breaks the references to the book of Daniel. It completely breaks the references to the book of Daniel. And we are told at the first advent that there is going to be a global tax. I just read to you that verse in the book of Daniel. Now, if you don't believe me, turn to Luke chapter 2. Turn to Luke chapter 2, and let's take a look at verses 1 through 3. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And this is what it says. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. Now, I understand the part of the world that this took place in. But either you believe your Bible or you don't believe your Bible. The Bible says it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Go back to Daniel chapter 11. Verse 20, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood they shall be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Now we have gone away from talking about Antiochus Epiphanes and Ptolemy Macron and Seleucid and all those other people. Now we are in the prophecies of the last days. Turn to Daniel 9:26. Turn to Daniel 9:26. Remember what Daniel 9:26 says? That word flood keeps popping up. Daniel 9:26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Jesus was crucified for our sins, not for his sin. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The first part is talking about Jesus on the cross. Colon. Now it's talking about Antichrist. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. Now turn to Revelation chapter 12. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. We all know, and we're going to talk about this after the break, this is the chapter where Antichrist, he's dead now. And now the devil himself as the red dragon is pursuing the woman who is the nation of Israel. And look at what happens starting in verse 13, Revelation 12:13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman that had brought forth the man-child. And unto the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That's 3.5 years. From the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. When we come back from the break, we're going to see this woman fleeing to the red rock city of Selah Petra. And we're going to see the Antichrist. He's going to conquer everything except for two places. And we're going to show you what those two places are when we come back right after this.
O daughters of Zion, O Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father, hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing, so count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation. I will give you this land. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam, lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. Once I gather you under my wings, I will bring you all back home again. Though you've wandered like strangers to the ends of the earth, I will send you a savior. I will finish my work. You have no other shepherd. You have no other Lord. Green pastures are waiting in Zion once more. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. Once I gather you under my wings, I will bring you all back home. So we pray for the peace, but look to the east, for the sun rises sudden and fierce. Every prophet and priest and king in the city will look on the one they appear. We will mourn for the one we have pierced. But don't fear, oh my daughters, O sons of Abraham. I will wash you with water. I will offer the lamb. Though your sins were like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. I have always been with you. I will never let go. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer own lost and alone.
And we are back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study. If you would like to read more about this man named Ptolemy Macron, you can go to the JewishEncyclopedia.com and just type in the word Macron, and this article will pop right up for you. And it's a fascinating read. And this is one of the many reasons why we have selected Emmanuel Macron as our number one candidate for the Man of Sin. But we invite you to go to nowtheendbegins.com and read the article called The Assyrian about Emmanuel Macron, and then go to the Jewish Encyclopedia and read the article about Ptolemy Macron. And he lived right during the same exact time period that Daniel is talking about. All right, give me Revelation chapter 12 in one hand and give me Daniel chapter 11. And let's start in Daniel chapter 11. So it says here, verse 22, And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with the small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. Now, if you've ever looked up this word, devices, in your King James Bible, the word devices appears 16 times, and in almost every single place that it appears, it has a very negative connotation. The law of first mention, devices first appears in Job 5:12. Job 5:12 says, "He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprises." Job 21:27, "Behold, I know your thoughts, and the devices which ye wrongfully imagine against me." Psalm 37:7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered in his way, because of the man who brought wicked devices to pass." And then the verse that I just read to you in Daniel 11:24, "And he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time." Daniel 11:25, "And he shall stir up his power and courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him." And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, go back to Daniel 11, and let's start reading in, what am I looking for here? Daniel chapter 11, let's start reading in verse 36. Daniel 11:36. "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself against every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And he shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." Now, where does this take place in the book of Revelation? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Look at verse 5. Revelation 13:5. "And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened up his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Now, that obviously hasn't happened yet. Go back to Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done." And so, Daniel, he gave you for many verses the history of the Assyrian wars, the Greek wars, Antiochus Epiphanes, Ptolemy Macron, Seleucid, all these historical characters, and then he gives you a character that has not appeared yet, that has not taken place yet, and now he begins to describe this character to you. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. The Antichrist has got to be part Jewish. The God of his fathers is obviously a reference to the patriarchs. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, from time to time, people will ask me, does verse 37 show that the Antichrist is a homosexual? No, it does not. He could be a homosexual. Certainly, when we understand what it means by the days of Lot, that is going to be part of what's going to be taking place. The Antichrist certainly could be homosexual. But that's not what verse 37 is saying. He doesn't regard the God of his fathers, the desire of women, or any God. Why? Because he is focused on himself. So this verse by itself is not telling you that the Antichrist is going to be a homosexual. It is simply telling you that he doesn't care or have regard for anyone or anything but himself and what he wants to accomplish for himself. Oh, I just lost my place. Verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Jesus says in the New Testament, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Judas was not a follower of Jesus Christ. Judas was a follower of the devil. He exists because he is the tare among the wheat. Jesus knew exactly who he had picked, and he picked Judas intentionally because he has to fulfill the type of Antichrist. He has to do what Daniel is talking about. Turn to Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew 24. This is why Jesus says what he says in verse 15. Matthew 24:15 is showing you day one of the Great Tribulation. 3.5 years have already gone by. It is a time of false peace and false prosperity under the false Messiah. And now here, in verse 15 of Matthew 24, you have the very first day of this 3.5 year period that Daniel calls a time, times, and half a time. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Jesus says, you want to know about the tribulation? You want to know about the Antichrist? Then you better go back and read Daniel chapter 10, chapter 11. And you better be able to sort out what's historical prophecy and what is future prophecy. Oh, how do I do that? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to be able to read Daniel chapter 11 and understand that from verse 2 all the way to verse 16, 17, 18, that's all talking about historical prophecies that have already come to pass. But then I gave you the shift. I gave you the fog that started to creep in on little cat feet. I gave you the change up. And then by the time you get to verses 20, 21, 22, 23, now it's not really talking about historical prophecies under Antiochus Epiphanes. It's talking about future prophecy. How do I know that? Jesus just told you that. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Jesus said these words approximately 29 AD. You know what had happened by 29 AD? Every single one of the wars that Daniel said was coming in the next 400 years already came, already went, and they were done, they were finished, they were over. So what is Jesus talking about in Matthew 24:15? Why is he telling you, hey, go back and read all that stuff about Antiochus Epiphanes, and when you rightly divide it, you're going to see that half of that was for the past, and the other half of that is for the future. And as of Matthew 24:15, it was still future. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. This is not Mary. This is not the baby Jesus that she's holding. This is not Mary standing on the top of the earth. This is the nation of Israel. Look at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is exactly what Herod wanted to do when he ordered all the male Hebrew babies 2 years old and under to be killed. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place of verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus Christ. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Acts chapter 1. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, where they should feed her there 1,260 days. How many days is that? 1,260. When you divide 1,260 by 360, which are the days of the Jewish calendar, you come up with 3.5. That's a time, times, and half a time. And then, of course, she flees into the wilderness, and she's going to stay there for 3.5 years. God is going to supernaturally protect her. And this is where the Jewish remnant is going to go. Now, go back to Daniel chapter 11. Go back to Daniel chapter 11. And let's read, starting in verse 38. Daniel 11:38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with the strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Keep your finger there. Turn to Joel chapter 3, verse 2. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Daniel 11:39 says, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end, not now, not in Daniel's time, it was still yet future in Jesus' time. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall also enter into the glorious land, that is Jerusalem, and many countries shall be overthrown. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Look at verse 20. Luke 21, 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let them not that are in the countries enter thereinto, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now go back to Daniel chapter 11, verse 41. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. Now, for those of you that have been here in our Bible studies for any length of time, you know that the land of Edom and Moab in the Old Testament, in our day, is called Selah Petra. And where does it exist? It exists in the nation of Jordan. And there is a place we call the Red Rock City of Selah Petra. And I submit to you that that is exactly where the Jewish remnant is going to flee to at the start of the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24:15. And if you haven't read our article on the real meaning of Selah Petra, please go to nowtheendbegin.com and just type in the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, and this article will pop right up for you. It's called The Real Prophetic Meaning of That Mysterious Word Selah, as found within the pages of your King James Bible. And so, this is what the prophecy was that was given to Daniel. It was mixed with historical prophecy and future spiritual prophecy, prophetic prophecy. Things that could only take place of a supernatural nature. And Jesus says that you need, if you want to understand exactly what's going on, you've got to go back and you've got to look at the prophet Daniel. And with the time that we have left, for those of you that have not heard this yet, the Lord gave me something a couple years ago that I call the seven skipping stones. And I just posted that into the chat room. And let me take you through what these seven skipping stones are. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24:15. So, Let's just go through these in the next 5 minutes and refresh our memory with what the skipping stones are all about. Matthew 24:15, day one of the Great Tribulation, Jesus says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." Now turn to Daniel 9:27. Daniel 9:27. "And he," Antichrist, "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of that week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." That's stone number two. Skipping stone number three is at the top of the page, Daniel 9:2. "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." And that brings us to skipping stone number four. Turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What is the expected end of the Jewish people? It is the kingdom of heaven in the nation of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, under King Jesus sitting on the throne of David, Luke 1:32. Stone number five, Jeremiah 30:5-7. "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:3. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, skipping stone number six. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now turn to skipping stone number 11, which is 2 Thessalonians 2:11. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." What is that strong delusion? That Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And that's where the wrath of God actually begins. The wrath of God, as I see it, does not start with the Great Tribulation. The wrath of God does not start with the 100-pound hailstones on fire, dripping with blood. The wrath of God does not start with turning the waters into wormwood and burning up the green grass. The wrath of God starts immediately after the rapture of the church with the strong delusion that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. And let's finish in Revelation chapter 13 and look at what it says in Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the beast which gave power unto, they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast saying, who is like, no, that's not what I want. That is not what I want. Where is that verse that says, and all the world wondered after, oh, here it is. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, verse 3, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Jan Lacker is asking me, do I think that there is a gap between the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the start of the time of Jacob's trouble? There could absolutely be a gap. I don't see a 10-year gap, as some people do. But could there be a gap? Oh, absolutely, that there could be. There is no doubt about it. And in fact, it is highly likely that there is one. But as far as the length of time, that's really open for speculation. But yes, I would say that from the start of the rapture to the start of the time of Jacob's trouble, there will be a little bit of a gap. No doubt about that. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. I thank you so much for tuning in. Please pray for us tomorrow night. I'll be preaching again the Wednesday night service at Bethany Baptist Church in St. Augustine. If you are going to be local any Wednesday night or any Sunday morning, we invite you to come to Bethany Baptist Church on County Road 208 in St. Augustine, Florida. I am supplying the pulpit there, and Lori and I would love to see you at Bethany Baptist Church, and Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Sunday morning, 11 a.m., and if you can make it, please come and worship with us there. It's a great group of people. You'll love them. A lot of NTEBers have been showing up. Also, please remember that for as long as supplies last, we will be giving away a free copy of the brand new soul-winning book by End Times author Bill Grady, What Must I Do to Be Saved? And as he says, it is actually three books in one. And if you'll go to the NTEB bookstore and make any purchase of $50 or more, we will automatically send you a free copy of Dr. Bill Grady's brand new book, What Must I Do to Be Saved? And I promise you that it will be a blessing for you. And with that, we've come to the actual end of our time. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday, noon Eastern time, for another NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. I thought none.